Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Amen. Amen. Well, stand with me for the word. It is good to be in church. It is good to be here on this sunny Sunday morning in the month of January. God is good. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Amen. He is so good, so kind, and I'm glad that you are here in the house today to respond to the word of the Lord. I'm continuing on this week as we began last week about, everybody say, grow up.
Grow up.
So we're going to talk about it just a little bit more and hopefully understand a little bit more about spiritual maturity and how the word looks at us and how we are to look at the word and how we are to look at one another. Amen. In spiritual maturity. Now, we won't go into every detail about this, and if the Lord wills it, we'll continue on. But nonetheless, let's see where we get to today. Looking again at Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse, as we use this as a springboard to get into this and understand. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me stop right here. I'm not talking about this particular scripture today, but it's good to understand this. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. I've always believed, and I still believe today, that sometimes we have a certain expectation that we place on one another to be at certain places or certain paces in a walk with God or relationship with God that is unreasonable. Because people come to different understanding at different paces. We all come at this today. We're all coming here today from different cultures, different backgrounds, different looks, different grasps about this. We have influence of family and settings around us. And so how we grasp things and how we respond to things may not be, you may have it one way in a grasp over here, and you might have it a different grasp, a different pace. We crest the hill at different times. And so there might be somebody ahead of you that's up the hill just a little bit, and not over the hill, but up the hill a little bit, and they're seen from a perspective that you don't have yet. Doesn't mean that you won't gain that perspective. It just means that you may not be to that perspective. And it can't be that somebody that's ahead of somebody else in the perspective looks back with indignation or judgment to think, why aren't they where I am?
Right.
Because we all come to the unity of the faith in different ways and different places and different times. And we have to understand it. And we have to be patient, because the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work.
Right.
Takes time to come to certain things. And so we're all in this journey together. But it's the grace and the mercy of God that fills all the gaps between us.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
While we may not agree about everything, we may not have a particular understanding that constantly parallels with somebody nearby us, it's the grace and the mercy of God that fills the gaps between us.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That helps us to walk in unity, though we may not have complete understanding. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, let's go on. And that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everybody say grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're talking about grow up. Pray. God, I love you and thank you. How good you are, how merciful you are. I pray that you anoint me and anoint this people. Thank you for your anointed word. It does not return void. And I pray, God, that you would baptize us with your spirit. Help us to mature in the Holy Ghost and the word and the things of the spirit today. And I pray that you are glorified, God, and that you are magnified in this. And I thank you, Lord, that you have brought us out of darkness in the marvelous light. Anoint us all now. Anoint me, and I pray, and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. May be seated. Last week, I told you about my bike. Let me tell you this week about my alarm clock, all right? I can't remember the day or the year that it was in, but I remember the season of life that I was in when it happened. It was when hard lessons were being learned. It was when I started learning that I did not know everything, even though I thought I did. And I am still learning that at times to this day. The lessons are less frequent, but still they are poignant and painful. That I find out that I, in fact, don't know everything. Anybody know everything? Raise your hand if you do. We're all pretty good on that one. And but if you thought to raise your hand, the altar will be open here in just a moment. My dad bought me an alarm clock. We didn't have cell phones back then that ruled our life and had alarms on them, and we were dependent on them 3 feet away from our bed or closer, glowing in the night. There was nothing fancy about this alarm clock. It kept time, and it had an alarm. That was it. It was one of those alarm clocks that you wound up. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Didn't have a battery. Wasn't plugged in. It was. You wind it up. You set the alarm. You turned it on. You turned it off. There was no snooze button. Didn't have it. It was on or off. It was one of those ones you threw across the room if that was the snooze button that would make it happen. He gave it to me sometime in my early teens, those early junior high years, probably, if I recall correctly, and told me that it was now, with that alarm clock, it was now my responsibility to set it and to wake myself up and to get ready and catch the bus and get to school. Right. It was now my responsibility to do so. I soon found out that he meant it. It only took a time or two of me being late that I realized that it was now my choice and it was now my responsibility, right, not his. Not my mom's, to get me up. I had to get up. I had to get ready. I had to catch the school bus. That was my alarm clock. I was responsible to set it. I was responsible to get up. Should I not be mature and diligent about it, I would have to suffer the consequences. This was a quick lesson. But it became clear that it was not only about myself that would be affected, but it would be about others as well that would be affected by my lack of maturity. The bus driver having to wait on me and all the other kids on the bus and those standing out in the cold up the road waiting on the school bus to come was then delayed because of me. My parents would have to adjust their schedule to fix my faults. And so I come to an understanding very quickly that now I had to mature. I had to take responsibility. It may seem like a bit of tough love and probably extreme to some in this particular day that we live in, but it was not. It was a simple, loving lesson about life and growing up and how my life and my choices would affect my life and the lives of others around me. We all have clocks that are clicking in this walk of life that we're living, clocks that ask of us a certain pace and place and response in our life. We are all dictated by that to a certain degree in some capacity. Physical and mental clocks that keep the track of time that we are living in and measure our life and our maturity and mortality that we are to be in, that we are to find ourselves in a pace of. Some of you moms and dads in the sound of my voice, you take your kids to the doctor for their checkups, and they tell you where your child is is landing in the scale of growth. They're a little ahead, they're a little behind, or they're right on time. It measures the maturity level. It measures how they're growing, how they're responding, what they are doing. Just as there is an expected growth rate in the physical, there is one as well in the spiritual. We are meant to grow up into Christ. Now, let me echo what I said just a moment ago. That growth rate or that maturity level or that particular pace may be different from one to the other, but still, nonetheless, it still must have a pace. There must be motion. There must be growth. There must be something that is constantly progressing. Look at this, if you would, please. Spiritual maturity is not only for our own spiritual well-being, but for that of others as well. This is important to understand as we go on in this particular lesson. My spiritual maturity is not just for myself, but it is about the well-being for other people as well. It is evident that if there is a lack of maturing in our life, that there will be consequences. There's going to be hard lessons that will have to be learned for ourselves. And I would like to tell you today, I'd like to think, to say and think that I have always responded the first time to everything that I was told and any lesson that came to me, but such was not the case. There were too many timeouts to tell otherwise. But nonetheless, through the process of maturing and hopefully the lesson that was learned and the course was ultimately corrected, maturity took place. But the lack of maturity, be it in the physical, everybody hear this, be it in the physical or mental, but especially so in the spiritual, has a profound effect on other people around us.
Right, right.
Now I'm going to speak spiritually now. If we are not maturing spiritually, it is not just going to affect us, but it is going to have a profound effect on people around us.
Right.
Look at this, if you would please. Tells us this in the book of Ephesians again. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We grow up, okay, look at this, we're gonna break it down. We grow up in Christ, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. Why? Because the body is fitly joined together. And it is compacted, every joint supplying the effectual work of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. It all is compacted together. Every joint is placed where it needs to be. It is fitted together so that it might grow. It might be effectual in the working of it. We mature in spiritual things in our walk and life in God, not just for our own good, but because others are depending on us. According to the scripture, others are depending on our spiritual maturity for their spiritual maturity.
Wow.
Others are depending on our growth so that they can grow. Every joint is supplying the other, effectually making every part work for the increasing of the body of Christ.
Right, right.
If something's not working, then something's not growing. The arm needs to mature and strengthen to carry the load that it was intended to carry. You were meant to mature. I was meant to mature so that I can carry the load that I was intended to carry by the body of Christ, because the head set it to be so that somebody else can increase in the work that God has called them to be and to do. It helps the leg. The arm helps the leg and the neck and the foot, each helping the other be what they're intended to be and to do, to supply what is meant to be supplied in strength and in purpose. When I come here on a Sunday, when you grace the doors and you walk in, I'm gonna be very direct about this right now. When you walk in the doors and you come into the pew, it is not about being just being served, because we have that mentality in our world. Are you okay? How about the rest of you? Are you okay too? We have that mentality about, well, I'm just going to pull up to the table. I'm going to be served. That's not what church is.
Right.
It's not about, well, what can I get? What can I, feed me? Let me have something that's sweet. Let me have something that, no. It's not about coming in here and just being entertained. It is about coming in here and understanding that I've got to get something accomplished here today. I've got to grow in some things here today. I've got to hear some things that are going to change my mind, change my life, and help me look and see where I need to be convicted, that I might grow thereby, because somebody needs me to hear it so that they can hear it. If we're not maturing, if you are not, you and I are not maturing, then something or someone in the body is going to lack and suffer, and they will cease to grow as well if we are not doing what we are supposed to do. Because we are all compacted together, we are fitly framed, we are joined together. Every joint is making a purpose in the body. Everybody in this place has been called to a responsibility of the Spirit to grow in Christ, to grow up in Christ.
Yes.
Paul said it another way in Colossians, if you would please. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. The ability to mature properly was always about, and is always about, staying connected to the body. Because if we are not connected to the body, we will not grow properly. When we are connected to the body, it enables proper growth and maturity. There are certain things in the spirit that we offer to one another, that we supply to each other. And disconnection, or being disjointed, this is important to understand. To be disjointed from the church keeps us from maturing and being stronger in the spirit. That's why I talk about faithfulness. That's why we preach here that you need to be a part of everything, of what's going on. You need to be in church when the doors are open. We need to be here, because the responsibility of us being here keeps us from being disjointed or disconnected from the church. And if we are disjointed or disconnected from the church, that means somebody is lacking, because we are not fulfilling the place and the purpose that God intended for us in the church. I'm talking about FLC. In the church, We are meant to be here and be part of the church. There are certain things in the spirit that will only be gleaned and gained because we're in the place of maturing where God intended for us to be. You need the church, and we need you, each needing the other. Our life depends on it. Others are depending on you to be in the place that God intended for you to be. Maturity in the spirit can be mutual if we are submitted to the head, which is Christ. You know, we often talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and we want the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, and we want the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit, which are all biblical. But the reason why that there is often the lacking of ministering of the gifts of the Spirit in the church is because we are often disjointed from the church, and it's not supplied as it should be. In other words, if we want the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to be where God called you to be, joined together with the rest of the body. You can't look over your shoulder and think, well, you know, they can do it, or that's going to be somebody over here. No. Don't delegate the responsibility of maturity to somebody else. My dad looked at me and gave me an alarm clock and said, you got to get yourself up. Well, guess what? Spiritually mature people recognize that our salvation and our success in our relationship with God, while I am thankful for the body of Christ and the lateral movement that takes place in this place, my spiritual maturity and my spiritual success, it must be understood that I am responsible to grow up in Christ for myself and not wait for somebody else to do it for me. Because if we want the gifts of the Spirit and we want the fruits of the Spirit to be born in our church and in our lives individually, it's only going to be because we stay where God told us to dig in, hang on, and bear fruit. Because somebody is waiting on us to help feed them with what we have been fed, and we can then in turn grow. This is essential. We all have to stay connected to Jesus. We have to stay connected to the Word under the accountability and the authority of the Word. We have to put ourselves under this authority, this book, because you don't answer to me, you don't answer to the person across. You will answer to the Word. This is where we will answer to. The arm, the toe, the hand cannot get this, if you would, please. The arm, the toe, the hand, it can't go off and think that it can thrive outside of the body. Right. It won't work. Only under the headship of Christ, Jesus, and what he has established can we be saved. We die outside of the body. You cut your arm off, it's going to die because it's meant to be attached to the body. Does this make sense? Right. This is very elementary now. Right. We have to be attached to the body. If we dissect ourselves from the body, we will die. We die outside of the body. If we get outside the authority of the Word, we die. If we get out from under the accountability of the Word, we die. That's why it's so important that we stay under the accountability and the authority of the Holy Ghost that God has established in our life. If we get outside of it, come on, it is spiritually dangerous. I cannot warn this enough. And you say, well, you're being dramatic. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you, it is spiritually dangerous to get outside the accountability and the authority that God has established through the Word. Because there is a principle within the Word that God decided that's how the blessing's going to flow. You detach yourself from the head, amen, the body dies. We have to come under the authority of Christ, the Word, the head. Amen. Spiritual maturity is knowing and understanding that the body does not know more than the head. Amen?
Right.
We have to, if we're going to mature our brain, we've got to come under the authority of the brain. And so it's the same way in the spiritual body. We have to come under the authority of the head, which is Christ.
Right.
And he knows what is best. There are those who are older and have knowledge, but do not act on that knowledge in obedience to Christ Jesus. Sometimes growing up in the spirit is not necessarily meaning that we have this knowledge or we have this intelligence that deciphers complicated things in God and his Word. I want to stick here for just a quick second, so because we often misunderstand this. There are many people that I know that have a great amount of knowledge within the Word. They have a knowledge that is gained through intelligence. But just because there is knowledge of the Word or intelligence does not mean that there is maturity.
Right.
Because spiritual maturity is not predicated upon just knowledge, and it's not predicated upon just intelligence. Mm-hmm. Spiritual maturity comes by submission.
Yes.
It comes by understanding the accountability to that which is above us, that which is for our protection, that which is for our ability to grow. Maturity can be simple obedience to do what is right to do, even when our flesh wants to do otherwise. Maturity is understanding that I have been told something in the Word, I've found something in the Word, something's been preached or taught to me, and I may not have, okay, everybody, say amen. I may not have full understanding of it.
Right, right.
But if I put myself under the authority of it, to like come to the unity of the faith,
right,
there's a safety in that submission, because why? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So we can come and we can have all these things that we do, the sacrifice. We know how to present the sacrifice, don't we?
Right.
We know how to lead the lamb, and we know how to cut the throat, and we know how to sprinkle the blood and all that. We got that
right.
Down.
Right.
We are professionalized Pentecostals.
Right.
We know how to come in. And so we can go through the motions of it, but obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right.
In other words, even if I don't understand certain things in the Spirit, or I don't understand all things in the Word, if I come under them and I put myself in obedience to them, God will bring me to the place of maturity by submission to it, to where I am blessed because of it. Come on, we live in a culture where everybody knows everything, and if they don't, they're working on the degree in it, or they've got Google to find out the answer. And so we think we just know it all. No, you may not know it all in the Holy Ghost. There are things, I'm telling you, there are things that I'm finding out to this very day at 57 years of age that I've never understood before. But I come under it and I say, God, I don't know it. I don't even like it maybe, but I'm going to be obedient to it. And when I put myself under that, I mature in the Spirit because I put my trust in the one that knows better than I do. Some of you parents, you tell those kids on that fireplace in your house or that stove, don't touch that, that's hot.
Right.
It might take a time or two for them to touch it. But after a while, even though they really don't understand it, there's safety in the obedience of it.
Right.
And the submission to it, and there's maturity that comes because of it.
Right.
It's the same process for us. We choose what is right instead of what we want.
Right.
We do good when bad would feel better. We mature in it. Pull up that picture for me. I'm almost done. I don't know what time it is, but that's my sweet mom. Now, mom she'll be turning 88. She didn't know this picture was taken. My sister snapped it. My oldest sister Rhonda snapped it the other day. She doesn't really like to have her picture taken, but she was praying, so Rhonda got it and sent it to me. Mom will be 88 on the 6th of February. She's unable to come to church now for health reasons. Most of the time she really wants to be here. She wishes daily that she could, but now she's to the place where she can't really safely get out at times. Hopefully one day she's going to feel better. She's planning on it, to come to church. She has good days. She has bad days. Some days she's sweeter than others. I got to be honest with you. some days she's really childlike and almost elementary in her childlike thinking. Some days she can be pretty cantankerous. Please do not tell her I said that if you see her. Some days you just don't want to be around her. And my mom and I have a good open relationship, but we joke with each other, and she wouldn't mind me saying that. But there's some days she just sweet as all get out. The other day I was there, she was sweet as all get out. The next day she was not sweet as all get out. The other day my oldest sister Rhonda said, snap this picture of her when mom was not looking and mom was at the table and she was praying. And so she can't get down and pray. And so she'll sit there and pray in her chair at the table, wherever she might be. And this was her prayer. This is what my mom prayed. This is all she prayed, really. Lord, help me to be good. That was all really my mom prayed. She didn't say a whole lot else. Lord, help me to be good. Simple, childlike, sincere. Sometimes maturity is not in the complex.
Right, right.
But it is in the committed.
Yes.
In the obedient. Doing the good, doing the right thing, doing the right thing. Everybody hear me? Doing the right thing, even when the wrong is more convenient. Even when it's Even when the wrong thing is more satisfying to the flesh, we do the right thing because it's right in the spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then the flesh will catch up.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've never seen it fail. You do the right thing in the spirit, the flesh will catch up. It will finally get there. I've seen it proven time and time again. So this would be my prayer. Lord, help me to be good. Help me to grow as I should, to obey your word, to live like I should, and to be faithful, to love and to forgive, to realize others are depending on me to do the right thing, to be what I'm supposed to be, to grow up and supply them with what I have been meant to be and to do. Help me, God, to always be under your authority. Help me to stay humble. Help me to be saved. And help me to save others, God. It's not complex. Living for God is not difficult.
That's right.
His burden is light. His yoke is easy. He's patient. He's kind. Lord, help me to do good. Amen. Somebody pray with me. Father, I love you. And I thank you for your sweet spirit. I thank you, Lord, that through mercy and grace, God, we find our hope. Through your compassion, Lord, we see as you would have us to see. And so, Lord, I pray for every one of us in this place that we would do what's right, not what's convenient. We would do what's right in the spirit, and Lord, trust that the flesh will catch up. And Lord, that we might be obedient to you and know, Lord, that you are working all things together for our good. And what is working, God, is for our best interest. It's not about our present comfort, God, but it is about our eternal salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a sweet promise of assurance that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us always. And God, in the difficult times or those times that are not so difficult, God, you don't change. You remain the same. And I thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. And because you are our shepherd, God, I shall not want. We shall not want, Lord. You lead us beside the still waters. You restore our soul. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. God, we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thank you, Lord. Somebody just lift your hands and thank God with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us.
Thank you,
Lord, that you're merciful to us. Thank you, God, that you give us time and you're patient with us and you don't cast us off, God. You love us and you're gracious and merciful. I love you, Lord. Would you just stand to your feet now and just one more time, just tell God how good he is. You're good, God. And I thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love your word. Now turn to somebody that you are in the body with, and when you shake their hand, put your arm around them, remember that they are depending on you to be who you need to be so that they might grow and survive and mature. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. We hope that this message is a supplement to your spiritual life and that you're encouraged to get plugged in at your local church. Let us know what you think by rating, commenting, and subscribing.